I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's May 21st, and we have a lot to talk about. I'm in Copenhagen, Denmark today, getting ready for a Progressive MS Alliance Scientific Steering Committee meeting. And I've been looking forward to this meeting for several months now. Back in 2016, the Progressive MS Alliance awarded three multi-year grants totaling about $14 million to three international networks of researchers and institutions who had developed projects that had the potential to make real breakthroughs in understanding and treating progressive MS. We've talked about these research projects before. One is focused on identifying biomarkers for progressive MS through MRI analysis before disease progression can be identified by a physician during a clinic visit, which means that proactive treatment could start sooner. And the other two projects are focused on using sophisticated, cutting-edge science to develop new drug treatments for progressive MS. Well, this week in Copenhagen, all three international research teams will be presenting detailed updates of their work to date. It's going to be an exciting few days of presentations and conversations that are going to remain confidential for now, as these projects are ongoing, and for a lot of good reasons, it would be jumping the gun to make any sort of public announcements. But I still want to give you a heads up about this meeting, because I think it's important to acknowledge that there's amazing research going on every day in laboratories around the world. Work that's being led by scientists who are deeply committed to figuring out progressive MS, finding ways to diagnose it sooner, finding drug therapies that help manage disease progression better, and gaining a better understanding of what's really going on when someone is living with progressive MS, because that understanding can ultimately lead to a cure. So I'm excited to be here in Copenhagen, and I'm ready for our meeting to get underway tomorrow. And while we're talking about meetings, I want to tell you about a different meeting that I attended last week. I was in Washington, D.C., participating in EMD Serono's Patient 360 meeting. EMD Serono, of course, is the North American face of Merck, which I believe is the oldest pharmaceutical company in the world. And if it's not, well, they still get props for their 350-year-long history. And their Patient 360 meeting was all about patient and caregiver engagement in drug development. Patient engagement is a theme that's being repeated and amplified throughout healthcare. It's an acknowledgement that research, clinical trials, and clinical practice all achieve better outcomes when they include the voice of the patient. And what was different about the conversations that we had during Patient 360 was that there was also an acknowledgement that including the voice of the caregiver could also add value and improve outcomes in drug development. As an MS caregiver, I was honored to participate in this meeting, and I was gratified to see that the caregiver's perspective was being acknowledged. It's clear to me from my own experience that a caregiver has a unique contribution to make to both research and clinical practice. While the patient, the one who's actually living with MS or any chronic condition, is the expert on their own symptoms, they're also the ones who are dealing with the weight of what many times is a life-changing diagnosis, the burden of treatment, possible treatment side effects, how their illness might be affecting other parts of life like their career or their relationships. Well, their caregiver has a front row seat to observe all of this, and because the caregiver isn't dealing with the disease itself, well, their perspective can help provide a more complete and a more accurate picture of the day-to-day details of living with a particular disease. So I was very glad to add my thoughts and comments to a high-level, high-energy discussion about patient and caregiver engagement and drug development. And kudos to EMD Serono for leading this discussion, and thanks again for inviting me to participate. The Multiple Sclerosis Association of America, or MSAA, is dedicated to providing the kinds of programs and resources that are designed to improve the lives of people affected by MS. If you require financial assistance for an MRI, or you need a laptop or desktop computer to connect to the rest of the world, if you require mobility equipment or even a cooling vest so that you can better enjoy being out with friends or family in hot summer weather, the MSAA offers programs that can help. And from my perspective, these are the kinds of programs that can change the quality of life for people living with MS and their care partners. That's why I'm happy to welcome my guest today, Gina Murdoch. Gina is the president and CEO of the MSAA, and we're going to talk about the organization's almost 50-year history, their shared management philosophy of living with MS, and we'll take a deeper dive into some of those remarkable programs. But before we get into my conversation with MSAA President and CEO Gina Murdoch, there are a few other things that you should know about. Two patient advocacy organizations, the Accelerated Cure Project for MS and Us Against Alzheimer's, were awarded a $100,000 grant from Genentech to better understand and identify the challenges faced by patients and caregivers of color living with MS or Alzheimer's disease. The organizations will work together to identify themes and common priorities among patients and caregivers of color related to interactions with health professionals, participation in research, and care practices. And their findings will be used to guide the creation of educational materials aimed at caregivers and physicians that address the key needs and concerns of people living with or caring for someone living with Alzheimer's disease or MS. This is important work because while African Americans and Latinos face a greater risk of developing neurological diseases like Alzheimer's disease or MS, there's a tremendous disparity in research and practice when it comes to these minority populations. New research suggests that MS manifests earlier and progresses more severely among African Americans and Latinos when compared to the Caucasian population, and that not only impacts the quality of life among these patients, but also creates a higher level of caregiver burden. So we need to know more. We need to know why. And this grant is going to provide much-needed research that will hopefully give us some of those answers. Living with a chronic illness can be very expensive in the United States. Prescription medications for managing MS, the so-called disease-modifying therapies, are expensive. And sometimes, even with health insurance, just making the copayment for some of these medications still places an unwelcome and unmanageable financial burden on families affected by MS. And while it's often overlooked because people don't know that it exists, help is available. And that help can come from the drug manufacturers themselves, who have established programs that provide financial assistance and support to the people who need access to their prescription medications. The Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, the trade group that represents pharmaceutical companies, has a dedicated search engine that's been designed to connect patients and caregivers with all the different financial assistance programs that the major pharmaceutical companies offer. And using the search engine is easy. You select one or more of the medications that your doctor has prescribed for you, and then you provide some demographic data so that the search engine can show you the public and private patient assistance programs that you'll likely qualify for. If you're using disease-modifying therapy, you should at least check your medications through this search engine. You might be surprised by what you find. Managing MS is costly enough, so it's worthwhile to be certain that you're getting all of the financial support and assistance that you're entitled to. You can visit the Medicine Assistance Tool, or MAT, at www.mat.org. And I'll leave a link to this prescription medicine patient resource search engine in today's show notes. K-12 CanDo MS is launching a new weekend program for young adults between the ages of 21 and 40 who are living with MS. The program is called Take Charge, and it's taking place the weekend of September 13th at the Peabody Hotel in Memphis, Tennessee. During this weekend program, an interdisciplinary team of MS experts will lead you through a series of presentations and interactive workshops that will leave you with strategies for enhancing your health and wellness, managing your MS symptoms, achieving career and family goals, and balancing MS in your relationships. Registering for the program requires a $100 registration fee that's fully refundable once you attend the program or cancel by the stated cancellation deadline. The program includes access to all the sessions and materials. It includes two nights lodging at the Peabody Hotel and all of the group meals during the program activities. Participants are responsible for their own transportation to Memphis and transportation to and from the airport and hotel. This new program can only accept a small number of applicants, so if you're a young adult who's living with MS and you're interested in finding out more, I'll include a link to information and online registration in today's show notes. CanDo MS is also launching a four-part webinar series on secondary progressive MS. The series begins on June 20th, and it's going to provide you with resources, strategies, tools, and support for families trying to understand the impacts of secondary progressive MS on their daily lives. The four webinars will cover understanding secondary progressive MS, managing your emotional and cognitive well-being, maintaining your physical well-being, and managing transitions in your relationships. Transitioning from relapsing remitting MS to secondary progressive MS is a topic that doesn't get discussed often enough. So if you're interested in registering for this four-part webinar series, you'll find a link in today's show notes. Just a few months ago, I told you about the Addressing Unmet Needs in MS Innovation Challenge being sponsored by the pharmaceutical company Celgene and LifeBulb, a chronic disease-focused patient empowerment platform that connects patients with industry to support user-driven innovation. Well, I wanted to update you on the Innovation Challenge because just a few weeks ago, they announced the finalists, and they are Shauna Purceau from Abilitech Medical. And Abilitech is developing a device intended to help people with MS with mobility challenges use their arms. Jason Da Silva from Access Map, and they're hoping to expand their web platform that allows users to locate, rate, and review the accessibility of any location in the world. Alan Gilbert from BeCare Link has a predictive artificial intelligence digital therapeutics platform, which remotely measures clinically validated assessments of cognition and motion to help improve quality of care and reduce costs for people living with MS. Zachary Helft of C-Lite Technologies, and they're using neurotech and AI technology that assesses eye motion measured on the cellular scale to monitor disease state in people with MS to provide treatment efficacy feedback. Amy Lee of Dance for Healing has developed an AI-powered telehealth live video platform, which brings community, exercise, and physical rehabilitation into the home to encourage healthy behavior change. Wim Van Heck of Icometrics, and they've developed AI-based brain imaging solutions to monitor MS disease progression. Kinza Kasser of LeoPlus USA, and they've developed a device and app designed to support communications between patients and care partners. David Hoja of Loroco, who has developed a socially assistive companion robot for people with mobility challenges. Kate Milliken of Moodify, who has developed a web-based tool which builds communities, aims to reduce loneliness, creates searchable content moments, and tracks the emotional journey of people living with chronic illness. and Bradley Dunn of Therm Apparel LLC, and they've created lightweight, comfortable, and concealable cooling apparel for people with extreme heat sensitivity. One of these finalists will receive a $25,000 monetary grant to further develop their proposed innovations at the Innovation Challenge Summit on June 13th in New Jersey. Personally, I just have so much admiration for the creators and entrepreneurs who bravely attempt to disrupt the status quo and invent the future in a whole new direction. So in mid-June, I'll be updating you on the winner and runners-up of the Lifebulb Celgene Innovation Challenge. The Multiple Sclerosis Association of America, or MSAA, is dedicated to improving the lives of people affected by MS today through a wide range of program and service offerings. Whether you're in need of a cooling vest, a computer, or an MRI exam, they have you covered. In a moment, we'll meet my guest, Gina Murdoch, the president and CEO of the MSAA. The Multiple Sclerosis Association of America, or MSAA, was founded in 1970. It's a national nonprofit organization dedicated to improving lives today through ongoing support and direct services to people living with MS, their families, and their care partners. The MSAA's free services include a helpline staffed by trained specialists, award-winning educational videos, access to safety and mobility equipment, cooling accessories for people living with MS who are heat sensitive, educational programs which are held at venues all across the country, financial support for MRI exams, My MS Manager, which was named one of the best mobile phone apps for MS by Healthline.com, and actually a lot more. My guest today is Gina Murdoch, the president and CEO of the Multiple Sclerosis Association of America, and welcome to the podcast, Gina.
Thank you, John. I so appreciate you having me on today. I have listened to some of your podcasts before and truly enjoyed them, so it's a real pleasure to be here today.
So how would you describe the MSAA to someone who had never engaged with you?
Well, what's exciting about the organization is we have been around for close to 50 years in the MS space, and we really started improving lives today and focusing on the quality of life aspect of living with multiple sclerosis. And I'm proud to say that has continued on today. You mentioned some of the areas of the organization, and we really look at living with MS and what does that mean and how can we impact lives, improve lives, and connect people. Some of the ways you mentioned, we have MRI, we provide cooling equipment, safety, mobility equipment, really for that tangible way, that direct impact of living with MS. And then we have ways that people connect. Where you talked about our app, we have over 19,000 people who've downloaded that app and are using it. So it's an opportunity for people to have that technological connection, not only with each other, but also with their healthcare providers. So really building that improvement. And our MSAA community that started about a year and a half ago has over 4,000 people connected in there and have an opportunity to talk with other people and care partners and others struggling with multiple sclerosis. So there's that way to create that connection. And then educational programs. So when we talk about MSAA and we talk about who and what we are, we've really been consistent on when you're diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and you're looking at how you're going to live with this disease and how your family and employment and your employer are going to look at it. MSAA has been there for close to 50 years and look forward to another 50 years.
I think I mentioned that the MSAA got its start back in 1970. What were the circumstances? What's the origin story? Who started it? How did it come into being?
So it was actually started by a gentleman whose wife was living with MS. So it certainly has some very honest beginnings from a care partner who started the organization and really felt that there needed to be a focus on life with MS. The organization has had some housing complexes in the past, but it was really started by a gentleman who thought the families needed support, the care partner needed support, the environment around the person living with MS needs support. And he did that from a very honest place as being the husband of a person living with MS.
You know, as you and I have been talking the last couple of minutes about so many of the programs that you do offer. And one thing that strikes me is they are geared toward not just the patient, but the family members, the care partners. I think I understand why. It sounds like it's in your DNA from the beginning. What would you say are some of the most important or valuable services that you'd want people to know about?
Well, and you're right. We do have a real honesty on beginning with the family. And in fact, we also include children of people living with MS. We have two wonderful publications, Mommy's Story and Daddy's Story, when a parent is diagnosed with MS, how you talk to a young child. So we do from, you know, the person, the care partner, the family, even the children of a parent living with MS. So we kind of to fill that out. But I think some of the most important aspects are the ways that we bring people together and how we give them an opportunity to share their stories and get support. The community is an amazing online opportunity for people to have in an anonymous way a connection. Webinars and our in-person programs, there's such a power to have somebody walk into a room and see other people who are living with MS and having that struggle, and care partners walking into a room having an opportunity to see other people who are dealing with it. So I think kind of in the virtual world, our My MSA community gives people that opportunity and that anonymity to really get that support. And I also think the in-person patient program also give people a live option. Not everybody is ready for one or the other, but both give a sense of connection, a sense of family, a sense of they're not alone. So I think those are really two important ways that we service the MS community.
A couple of months ago, I know that I was talking about some of the programs that you were launching at that time that kind of focused on family, on relationships in MS that I thought were really fantastic. What is launching now? What new programs have you recently launched? Or maybe you can give us a hint about what you're about to launch in the near future?
Sure. So actually, we just launched a new video series. There's 12 little videos. They're only about a minute or 2 minutes long, so they're not overly long as far as getting involved with it. But they're 12 different pieces, and they are moderated by Dr. Michelle Fabian from the Corinne Goldsmith Dickinson Center at Mount Sinai. And it goes through things like relapses or what is MS. And it kind of is a wonderful opportunity, not only for the individual living with MS, but care partners, family members, to really understand what's going on. So we want to make sure we give that information out to people. We also have looking again at life. We are actually having a webinar in about 2 weeks called Creating Healthy Habits. And it talks about nutrition and diet and exercise. And those are all aspects of managing your multiple sclerosis that really can incorporate the entire family. So there are ways of looking at how you can help the person, but really those opportunities to engage the entire family unit in care, in healthy living, and really creating that connection. The other piece that we're looking at is obviously a very important part of life, and we're really excited about this, is looking at employment and MS, and we just published a new publication on that. And it talks about the challenges and opportunities of disclosing and as your MS journey goes along and conversations you may want to have with family, friends, and internally about how your life wants to go with employment or at a point past employment. So I think that we are starting conversations about, you know, the basics of what the disease is. We're looking at diet and nutrition and how we can impact the lives. And we're also looking at a key area that a lot of people define themselves on, employment, and how can you take control of that situation or position yourself to be aware of the challenges and the opportunities of living with MS and employment and past employment.
When it comes to living with MS, I know that the MSAA has a philosophy of shared management. What does that mean, and how is it embraced by the MSAA?
So we have done a good amount of work in shared decision making and shared management, and it's something that not only have we worked on within the states, we're actually convening an international collaborative called Navigating MS that really focuses on when that door closes and that conversation between the healthcare provider and the person living with MS and the care partner really gets real. It's about the conversation and the honesty of that conversation and the person living with MS really being involved and educated and empowered for that conversation. We have a number of different publications that really go through kind of a thought process as you're going through what you want your life to be and what you want your treatment to be and how you want to impact your life and how that looks like. So you, when you get to your healthcare provider, you really have thought through what fits with your life, what is, you know, what is your family situation, what is your life situation, and really encouraging the person living with MS, really the care partner as well, to be an active advocate and involved in that conversation and involved in management of your MS and what you're going to be doing in the future. So we've done work within the states, and we're also part of an international collaborative where there's people and healthcare providers from US, EU, and Australia looking at, can we bring all of this mindset together and take excellent ideas from all over the world and really take it and distill it down to how can we have that conversation that's so critical and has such an impact and is often so short, have the biggest impact with the greatest outcome for the patient.
All I can do is applaud that entire effort, because I am a huge supporter of people being actively involved in their treatment plan. And what that requires is that you make yourself an informed medical consumer so that you can enter into those conversations with a real understanding of what's being discussed and what it is you most want to or need to advocate for on your own behalf. If you're going to be talking about different disease-modifying therapies, you kind of need to understand why they're different and what that means to you and your lifestyle and your quality of life. And that's why I'm so happy to see that you've backed up that philosophy with so many resources that empower people to do that with confidence. I think that's great.
And I think it is. It's not only empowering, I think, for the individual, but it's also empowering for the care partner to know that they are part of that conversation. It gives them an opportunity to really be in that conversation as well. So I think that the process that we've done is not only, obviously, and you know better than anyone, MS affects more than just the individual. So having an empowered advocate, and as you say, a medical consumer, but also bringing the care partner into that so that there is a team decision or there's a team conversation about what this means and what the protocol is going to be and how this is going to impact the lives, and really empowering them, encouraging them to ask questions and make sure that they get what they need and they feel heard is critical to the patient going home and then really following the plan, or having the strength and resolve to go back to the healthcare provider and say this plan is may be working, may not be working. But they need that encouragement and they need that empowerment to make sure that they are medical consumers and self-advocates.
I couldn't agree more. Obviously, as a care partner, I fully embrace that approach. And I think it's so helpful to have the care partner just intimately involved in the discussion and the conversation about the direction treatment's going to take and the options and the decisions being made, because many times that person who's living with MS can be a little overwhelmed by that information. It's a hard job to do alone. If you have a partner who can augment your insights with their observations, I think that gives the treating physician a more complete picture. And so it makes their job a lot easier in terms of helping to kind of recommend the best treatment path to take. So the fact that you see this as a family situation, as a team situation, I think it just checks all the right boxes.
Well, thank you. And one of the things that we really encourage is we have a mobile app, My MS Manager app, and in that particular app, there is a journaling function, and we really encourage people to write down, because obviously there's a good amount of time in between their visits, their neurologist or whatever healthcare provider, and we really encourage them to use the journal function to record things, because sometimes you get to the appointment and you don't remember remember all the things that have happened in the time. But we also really encourage the care partners do that way. They're not connected, so they are private. But to record things, because when they're going to the appointment together, there may be something that a care partner observes that the person living with MS may not observed. So we really encourage people, the care partners, not only to, you know, to use the app and also to keep those top of mind things and write them down. So when they go into the appointment with the healthcare provider, they really get a 360 view, both with from within the person living with MS, but also their partner observing from the outside. And it just gives somebody a really free, easy, quick, people are on their phones way to consolidate that information and remind them, so you make that appointment as effective and efficient as possible.
So where can people go to find out more about the MSAA and to take advantage of some of these remarkable resources that are available to them?
They can just go to mymsaa.org and they can look through the information. Everything that they have is on our website. There is videos, there's webinars. Anytime we have the webinars, everything is archived afterwards, including the Q&A section. So people really can have an opportunity to go to the website and find out more about our direct impact. There are online applications now for cooling and for safety and mobility equipment. There's information from, they can access our helpline through a chat feature. They can access the all of our publications available, both in hard copy and PDF, and all of our webinars, and they can get to the community and download the app for free. So it's mymsaa.org. And, you know, it's a really wealth of information.
Well, I'll be sure to include a link to your website in today's show notes. Between educational resources, symptom management tools, live educational programs, and even providing support for MRI exams and mobility equipment, the kinds of things that I know can change someone's whole perspective on living with MS, the MSAA is doing really important work. So thank you for all that you're doing, and thanks for taking the time to talk with me today.
Well, thank you so much, John. We appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and to talk a little bit more about MSAA and encourage people to take advantage of what we have to offer.
Well, that's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. And remember, you only have 2 weeks left to get your entry in to be my special guest on an upcoming episode. Please take just a couple of minutes today and let me know why you'd be the perfect special guest for me to interview on our 100th episode. Just head over to realtalkms.com/enter, and you and I might be having a conversation soon on the 100th episode of Real Talk MS. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.